Okay, so I just wanted to really just to spend a little time on clarifying Eina Miskavein. Okay, it's something that we sort of encountered a little bit here and there in the sugya of the Bastia. But there are a couple of points that I think are worthwhile to really draw out and see the full implications of them. So, I mean, in general, we had a problem. In general, there's an underlying problem in the sugya of the Bastia. Okay? Namely, what? What's the underlying problem in the Bastia? Why isn't it simply usher because you're nana? Right? Why don't we say it's a problem of being a nana? And even if you want to say that he's not a miskavein, right? Meaning to say that's not his objective. And we passing like Rabbi Shimon, that's very nice, but even Rabbi Shimon is moda by psik resha that it's also. Okay. So just to make sure we're all together in the same we all have the same understanding here. What is the there's like a seminal sugya in Shas about Eina Miskavein, right? And it comes up in different ways. But what's the main machlokas in Eina Miskavein? So that's the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, right? And it's brought down. It's brought down in Shabbos by the case of pulling the bench, right? The famous pulling the bench. So what does the Gemara over there say in Shabbos? Basically, that if the person wants to move the bench from point A to point B on Shabbos, right, and dragging it may create a furrow, may improve his land to some degree, right? May create that ditch. But that's not his intention, so that's called an Eina Miskavein, right? And Rabbi Yehuda says it's Aser, and Rabbi Shimon says it's Mutter, right? So that's the general idea. Eina Miskavein. Is it Aser or is it Mutter? Rabbi Yehuda says Eina Miskavein is Aser, and Rabbi Shimon holds Eina Miskavein is Mutter. And we pass like Rabbi Shimon. Okay? So if you have a situation where you want to do something that itself is not Aser, and there's a possibility that an Iser may occur in the course of your action, right? But that's not your kavana. Your kavana is simply for the to move the bench, that type of a thing. We hold as mutter. It's mutter to do. Okay. Right, Mayor? No, it's mutter. What? You can move a bench on Shabbos, provided it's not a psik resha. Okay? Provided it's not definitely or necessarily going to happen. Okay? That's the basic idea between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. That even though Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue by Eina Miskavein, and even though Rabbi Shimon is matir by an Eina Miskavein, Moda Rabbi Shimon bepsik resha v'lo yomos. Rabbi Shimon is Moda. That if the person only wants to procure a toy for his child on Shabbos, but it will necessarily kill the chicken, then it's usher. Right? Psik resha v'lo yamos? Right? It's a question. Answer is fairly easy, but no, of course. So that's the basic idea, right? I mean, we've seen this many times, and then it comes up in primarily you encounter it in Shabbos, okay? Okay, good? All right. Now, the thing is, though, that although the machlokus is stated by Hilchos Shabbos, by dragging, by being gorer, the safsal, the mita, it really is a universal halacha. It's not a halacha of Shabbos. It's a general halacha. And all Yisurim. Okay? And that's why the Gemara in Psachim, on Chafei Yom Beis, talks about it in terms of the reach of Hanoas, Hanoah Bola Adam Bal Korcho. And it says that it's going to be the same question as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, or the Gemara is trying to work it out, at least, within the framework of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. It gets a little bit complicated, but basically, the Gemara says that if a person is not intending to enjoy that smell, he has to go, he's going to work, right? And he's not intending to smell to enjoy the smell of the ketores of Avodas Kochavim. So he's basically an Eina Miskaven. He's an Eina Miskaven. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it should be mutter. Right? Basically, according to Rabbi Shimon, it should be mutter. Okay, so like I said, the Gemara of the Psachim is a little bit more complicated because it throws in another element of Efshar and E-Efshar. And that is Anika Damri. But bottom line is, everybody agrees that whatever the din is, and they're arguing about what really the case of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is, but basically everybody agrees that the din of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon equally applies, in theory, to not just to Shabbos, but to something like this. Something like Hanoa Bodolod Bar Korcho. Okay? So the question is, what about Psik Resha? Since we say that, in other words, who the sheets of there? Abaye says is mutter. Abaye says if you're going to work and you have to pass by the temple of the Avodah Zarah and they make fragrances over there for idolatry, right? So Abaye says it's mutter. Why? Because he calls like Rabbi Shimon. So since you're not miskaven for it, it's davishin miskaven and it's mutter, right? That's basically what Abaye holds in Psachim. What about what we just said a minute ago, that even Rabbi Shimon is moda by psik resha, right? So, from what I can tell, there are two answers to that question. All right. One answer we already dealt with, and that is the Ran. The Ran holds, by Hanna, you don't have psik resha. Okay. But most Rishonim seem to not learn like the Ran. I mentioned to you what the Rush said, right? The Rush said it has to be a case where it's not a psik resha. Tosa says it has to be a case where it's not a psik resha. The Ritva seems to hold, it has to be a case where it's not a psik resha. Why? Because if I necessarily was going to be a nene from the Avodas Kochavim, so Kavana doesn't make a difference. We hold like Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon is moda, even by an Eina Miskaven, Psik Resha V'lo Yamos is Aser. Okay, so it's all consistent. In other words, all we're saying is we're applying the same rule that we see by dragging the bed, by dragging the bench, to the Hanos Reach. That just like if a person needs to move the bench from point A to point B, and it may cause a digging, as long as it's not a psik resha, and he's not intending for it, it's mutter. So too, if a person has to walk from point A to point B, right, and he may get the smell of avos kochavim into his nose, and he may even, and it'll be enjoyable, he may get that hana, but it won't necessarily happen, and he's not mechaven for it, it's mutter, because it's ain't a miskaven. What's that? So that brings us back to our question. That brings us now to the Ritva's question. So the Ritva says that when the guy goes to the wine to smell it, so it's yayin nesach, which is also b'hanoah. Right? So he says it's basically a case of Hanoah, Habor L'Odom Bal Karcho, but it's a psik ratio. So it's true in Psachim we hold, if you're not mechavin for the Hanoah, then it's mutter. But that's only when it's not a psik ratio. Right? So if a guy's walking to work, and sometimes the wind blows his way, and sometimes the wind doesn't blow his way. Or like the Rush says, he could put his finger over his nose, and he probably won't get any of the smell. So it's not a psik ratio. So in those cases, we say it's mutter, because he's not a mechavein, and it's not a psik ratio. But over here, the Ritva says two things. Just first of all, it's hard to say he's not mechavein, because that's his job. His job is specifically to try and detect that taste. It specifically is to get the enjoyment of the wine to see if it's good or not. So he says it's hard to say that's not a mechavein. But he says, but even if it's not a mechavein, it's still a psik ratio. So how is it possible to say that it's mutter to smell the Yayin Nesach wine? Why isn't it simply, even if you hold Davar Sheni Miskaven is mutter, and even if you're going to say this is called Nina Miskaven, it's definitely going to happen. He's sticking his nose right over the barrel. Right? That's the Ritva's Kasha. Okay, so one thing you see from the Ritva's Kasha is he disagrees with the Ran. Right? He doesn't agree with the Ran that Psik Resha is mutter by Hanoah. Well, at least you see it from his answer. And his answer is, no, the Yayin Nesach is different. It's not called a Hanoah at all. We're not going to examine that. We're just going to take his word for it. He says, how do you get out of the problem that he's being a Nene, that it's a Psik Resha that he's a Nene? He says, no, that's not called a Hanoah. Because that's not what wine is for. Wine is not for smelling, wine is for drinking. It's like taking something and misusing it. You don't have to call that being a nana from it. Whatever, we're not going to examine that idea right now. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to look into the miskavin and miskavin question. So basically he's saying, though, that if it were a hanah, right, and it was a psik ratio, it would be usser. And if it were a hanah and not a psik ratio, it would be mutter. This is a psik ratio, so why is it mutter? Because it's not even a hanah. Okay? Good. Okay, so it's a little bit of a cheshbon, but now that we have removed the possibility of an isra hanah from the yayin, and that's why Rava says it's mutter, why does Abaye say it's usr? Right? Okay, so it's another idea we're not going to examine here. But it's because he says that going to the barrel and breathing in the vapor of the wine into your lungs deeply is considered actually like a shasiyah. Okay? So basically, for our purposes, all we're looking at is this. It's now considered a shasiyah. How is it considered a shasiyah is not our objective here. But it is a shasiyah. So now we have a chilek. When it was hanah, so then psik ratio is aser, of course, but not a psik ratio is mutter. Okay? But now he's saying this case is mutter, according to Rava, because it's not hanah, even though it's a psik ratio, but it's not hanah. And according to Abaye, it's aser because it's shasiyah. And Rava simply holds not Shasiyah. Okay? All right. Okay, this is all interesting, but it's not the main point. Now, the main point is the next thing the Ritva says. You have the Ritva? So then the Ritva says a strange thing. He says, Ela baye mitam achilo shasiyah osiyalo. Dekev and shenichnas areach befiv. Right, it's not through the nose, it's learns through the mouth. Choshev lo kishasiya mamish. The reichel shel davar kimamasho. So how could it be eating? So you must say that the smell is like the thing, right? Because you have to eat the thing. Eating is something done to the object. So if Abaye can hold that the breathing it into your guf is like an eating, so it means he holds that the vapors that come off of it are considered like a chelik of the ayin. Okay, but not a chelik of hano, actually a chelik that's shayach to shesiyah. Hilkach, he says, now he seems to throw this in gratis. I mean, hilkach, afilu lo haya miskavin lekach haya osa. That's a line that every time I read it, I felt like pulling my hair out. Because it's a psik resha. Who cares if he's miskavin or not? Now, it's all we needed to do was find an iser, right? Once you find something that's usser, and it's a psik resha, of course ain miskavin is usser. Right? Now, his setup was, why should it be mutter? Even if it's ain miskavin, it should be usser because it's a psik resha, correct? So he says, no, it's mutter because it's not hana. It's achila. And now that we say it's even it's achila, even if you're not miskavin, it's going to be aser. Well, who cares about miskavin and miskavin? It's just simply a psik resha. That's a davar pasha. Anything that's aser, if it's a psik resha, is aser even if you're not a miskavin. What is he adding? Sounds like he's adding some chiddush over here. That over here there's a new din of an ein miskavin. Even not a psik resha, ain't a miskavin is going to be usher. And how do you know that's what he means? Because he says, "Ukaosa she'omru b'misasek b'chalavim chayav she'kvar nana." Just like we say by chalavim, that if a person eats chalav, not intending to even do a maisa achila, just completely accidentally, he's chayev. What? He's chayev achadas. How? He was an enem. He was more than an enem miskavin. He didn't even know what he was doing. Right? But we say by achila, even an enem miskavin is what? Is a maisa achila. Okay. Can you hold on. Now it goes like this. Umay disharinan beperek kol sha'a aliba de Rebbe Shimon. And now he says, wait a second. So why were we matir in Psachim to go through the market and possibly smell the reich of the Avos Klavim? Now hold on. Why is that a question? It's not a psik resha. Isn't that our whole premise up to this point? That that case in Psachim was not a psik resha? Right? But now that he's saying achila or shasiya is usur, even in Eina Miskavein and not a psik resha, now he has a problem with the Gemara in Psachim. So if you're going to tell me reyach is like shasiya, right? If you're going to tell me reyach is like shasiya, and that's why Abaye says it's usher, so how does Abaye say it's mutter to walk through the market when you might smell ketores of avos kachavim? It's not a psik resha, very nice. You're not miskavim, very nice. But this is achil and shasiya. Misasek b'chalavim arayis, it's usher, it's chayev. So what's his answer? Shani hasam she'ena mechavin piv kineged hareach mamish ve'ena bolea hareach mamish. That is just hana. He's not sucking it down directly from the source. So that's why over there it's just hana. But what comes out from this? A very interesting chiddush that's not obvious. And that is that there's an exception to the rule of a davar she'ena miskavein, not a psik resha, being mutter. Namely, achila and shasiya. That proves from this Ritva that the Rit, there's no, that, that's the only way to learn this. It's the only, that, that's exactly what his tennis match is. He's going back and forth, side to side. First he says, why should it be mutter here? It's psik resha or miskaven. Then he says, no, there's no isra no here at all. Right? But that would mean to say that isra hano, that would mean to say that that the Gemara and Psachim must not be a psik resha case, because otherwise it should also be asr. Right? And then he says, no, this is achila and shasiyah, that's why it's asr. And now that it's even achila and shasiyah, it's asr even as a not a miskaven. Now there's no difference between miskaven and psik resha. It means the same thing. So ena miskaven to be mutter has to, so ena, when he says, when he's talking about ena miskaven here, he means not a psik resha. Because there's no chiddush to say something's usher as ina miskaven if it's a psik resha. That means miskaven. Psik resha means like it's miskaven. So now he's saying achila and shasi is usher even as an ina miskaven. And reach is like achila. Oh, then he has problems in psachim. Because even though he said psachim was not a psik resha, but now that we're saying achila and shasi is usher even when it's not a psik resha, so how is psachim mutter? Right? So you have to say, no, that's reach can be engaged as hana, or reach can be engaged as achila. If you're engaging it as hana, then it's mutter if it's not a psik resha. But if you're engaging it as achila, then it's usr even if it's not a psik resha. Right? That's the facts. So what comes out from this is an interesting idea.
What does it mean to engage it as achila? Mastia case?
Yeah.
With miskavin and psik resha, I thought miskavin just means whether
God wants
or not, but
Miskaven means whether he wants the, let's learn the simple shot. Miskaven means he wants the result to come about. Right? So we say that why is a Rishimah Moda by a Psik Resha? Because it's tantamount to saying I want the result to come about. Because I know it's definitely going to happen when I do what I want to do. So it's basically like saying I want that too. It's like a transference of kavana, right? It's a transferred kavana. Okay. So what comes out from this is an interesting idea. It really comes out that there's a hidden chakira in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And the chakira is as follows. When I tell you that Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter to drag the bench, even though it may do harisha on Shabbos, as long as I'm not mechavein for it and it's not a psik resha, and Rabbi Shimon says it's aser, Rabbi Yehuda says it's aser, what's the inyan over there? So the plain shot, and the way that I always thought about it, is that the question is, am I allowed to choose to do a ma'aseh that may incur issur? Because I know I have an action ahead of me that may or may not incur issur, may or may not come to a ma'aseh issur. And am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to engage in that? Or is it usur to choose a ma'aseh that may do a ma'aseh issur? So Rabbi Shimon says, look, as long as it's only a chance, and that's not your intention, so that's it, you're allowed to do it. What happens if I'm choresh by accident? Yeah, you're choresh by accident. We're not going to hold you to it. Since it wasn't your intention to do it, right? It's sort of like a patur. Sort of like you're allowed to live your life as long as you're basically making good choices and you don't have to worry about everything that might happen. And Rabbi Yehuda is like, no, he's very worried about things might happen. And he says, if there's a chance, better not to do it. Good definition, right? But you see from this ritva that that's wrong. Why? Because the ritva is saying, if I would have the same exact situation, but the thing that may occur is achila, it will be asr. Right? If the thing that is an ena miskavi napsik resha is achila, then it would be asr. even though it's only an Ein Miskaven and it may not occur. So really, what is the heter of Rabbi Shimon then? It's not that you're allowed to engage in something that may have a Maisa Isser, as long as the Maisa Isser is not definite and not Mechave. It's what? It's that if that action would occur, since you're not a Mechaven for it, it's not a Maisa Isser at all. That's the question between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Is it considered a Maisa Isser if it were to occur? Everybody agrees you can't do an action that may incur a Maisa Isser. But the question is, on an Eina Miskave, not Psik Resha, if that thing does occur, does it have a shame of a Maisa Isser or not? Rabbi Shimon says, things that happen that you're not Mechaving for and don't have to occur are not a Maisa Isser. You did no Maisa Isser at all. Rabbi Yehuda says you would do it would be a Maisa Isser, and that's why you can't engage in it. But Rabbi Shimon would agree that if there was something, let's say, I'll just give you a theoretical possibility. What if, give you the nafkmina, what if according to Rabbi Shimon, there was something that would be a Maisa Isser even without Kavanah? Would he allow you to do it?
No.
No! And what is that thing? It actually exists. Achila, or Shasiya.
Doesn't this just lead you to another question?
Okay, good. We could use a question.
What does this shame Maisa Isser?
Yes. So this begs the question of why does Achila and Shasiya have a Maisa Isser without Kavana and everything else requires Kavana for a Maisa Isser? Yeah. You understand? I mean, the proof is that you don't consider it a shogeg. If it were to occur, Rabbi Shimon wouldn't say you chayav achatis as a shogeg. Shogeg means where you did it accidentally. But by b'chalavim, you are chayav achatis when it happens, even though you have no kavana. So you see, really, when you think about it and you really look at it more carefully, it's just an assumption that you had, and really an unjustified assumption if you thought that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's like a matir to engage in the maisa, that you don't have to worry if the isser occurs. No, it's more than that. If that's the way you're doing it, then it's not an isser when it occurs. So to be stated in the positive, certain isurim require kavana to be a maisa isser, and certain isurim don't, according to Rabbi Shimon. But the question is, why? What's the difference? Why is it that a garden variety maisa isser, like Malach HaShavis, or being a nene from something, requires kavana sagavra to be a maisa isser, but achila and arayos, really those are the two. It's more than just achila. It's misasik b'chalom v'arayos. Both of those are intrinsically a maisa isser, even if you're not mechaven for it.
What about sikha?
I don't think so. I mean, the shasiya, is that like a real nana, like a real shasiya? I don't know. So it reminded me of something we did a couple years ago, by the question of mitzvah tzrichas kavana or ein tzrichas kavana. Okay. So there's a well-known question of mitzvah tzrichas kavana and mitzvah ein tzrichas kavana. It's one of the questions that one of the Rishonim said that, like, whenever the Gemara has a chance to ask this question, it just jumps right in. It's like a burning question the Gemara is always looking for an answer for. So that's why it pops up all different contexts. So there's a problem, there's a stira in the Rambam, okay? Because in one place the Rambam says you have to have kavana to listen to the tkiya shofar. Okay? Which indicates mitzvah srichas kavana. But there's another halacha in the Rambam that says that if burglars, if listim forced you to eat matzah on the night of Pesach, you yotzei. Which is a clear, sounds like Mrs. Ein Shichu Chilah, right? So that's what the Ran says. So the Ran says it's not a stira. The Rambam really holds you need kavona. But he quotes the exact same Gemara, Misasek b'chalov v'arayos is aser even without kavana. So achila doesn't need kavana to be considered an achila. And just to top it off, just to fix it up, because I realize now you might be thinking this question. Mitzvah strichas kavana doesn't mean kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. It means kavana for the maisa ha-mitzvah. You have to add that in. Because even if you're going to say achila is kavana, at most it's considered kavana in terms of the maisa achila. But it's not going to be a kavana to be yotzei mitzvah's matzah. So the Ran says, you could learn like that in the Rambam. You could learn, what is the Rambam's din? Mitzvah strichos kavana, not kavana lotzeis, not kavana to be yotzei, not a hinni muchon muzuman, not that kind of a kavana, but a kavana to choose the maisa, to do the maisa per se. But if I just accidentally did the maisa, that's not, then you're not yotzei. But by mitzvah stricho, but by achila, it's always considered kavana by achila, even if you didn't have kavana. Okay. So anyway, so it's always strange. How do we change reality? I mean, how do we demand kavana, and then say, but this is equal to kavana? So then that sort of means you didn't really need kavana. I mean, then it can't mean you need kavana per se, right? And as I tell you, you need kavana. Need kavana for a maaser, right? But in this case, you don't need kavana. So that's why? Because it's like you had kavana. Okay, so then that's a big problem. That's a logical impossibility. If you really needed kavana, we can't just impute kavana and say this is the same thing as kavana. Then it must mean that when we say you need kavana, it's really the kavana is doing something. The kavana has a certain effect, and you really are looking for that effect. And most of the times, kavana is the cause, but sometimes you don't need kavana to have that thing. Can't say it's kavana per se. In other words, you can't say you need a certain mental state of mind and then say, well, even though you didn't have it in this time, we say you had it. Very nice to say I had it, but I didn't have it, right? That's not possible. You can't say tzrichas kavana in the sense of a mental state of mind. You can say, though, that somehow kavana does something, and it does something most of the times, but sometimes it happens b'meila. Okay, so we have to fill in the something. If we could fill in the something, then we can have our answer to our question. If you don't understand what I mean, you'll see what I mean when we fill in the something. Hopefully. Okay, so what is the something? Go ahead.
Is it Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah, it's Rosh Hashanah. So, 09, I think it was, right? So, so the thing is like this. When we say that you're going to be, that it's a maisa isser, or maisa mitzvah. So in general, in most cases, there's two things. There's the maisa itself, the occurrence, let's say, the physical description of the maisa, means, say, digging the ditch. In terms of Shabbos, I'd say that is the physical description of the maisa. The ditch, digging the ditch. When you drag the bench, and then it digs into the ground and makes a scratch. So that's the physical production of the maisa. Okay? That's one element. Obviously, you need that. If you don't have that, you don't have anything to talk about. But in order to be chayav, in order for it to really be an iser, not only does it have to occur, but what? In order for it to be a maisa iser, let's say an animal is walking outside the street, dragging, it's like a dog is dragging a, a chair across the bed, across the yard. Would I say that there was a Maisa Issa occurring? No. So you need two things for Maisa Issa to occur. Right? You need the event, and you need an Adam. You need a Jew doing it. Okay? Right? Not just that it occurs. It has to be done, not just occur. So when do we say it's done? That's the question. When do we say it's done? So that's what Rabbi Shimon holds. He holds, unless it's chosen by the Gavra, it's not the Maisa Adam. It's not the Maisa HaGavra of Choresh. What is it really? The guy is moving a bench, and he's a goreim of an action that's he's a goreim of the effect of Choresh. It's like he caused it to happen, but he didn't do it himself. See, an Adam can be a cause of something. We can say nature occurs or caused something. We can say the wind blew a branch that dragged a hole across the yard. So we say nature was the cause of that harisha, or we can say an Adam is the cause of that harisha. In either case, Rabbi Shimon holds that's not the malacha of harisha. The malacha of harisha is when it's not just caused by Adam. Of course, that's closer than caused by nature, but it's when it's the maisa of the gavra per se. It's his chosen mechuvan act. There has to be a unification between what the guy is doing and what is occurring. Can't be he's doing A and B is occurring. Then he's just a cause, like the wind is the cause. But in order for it to be a real Maisa Malacha, a real Maisa Isser, it's only when it's the Maisa HaGavra of Harisha. And it's only completely his when you take the external event of Harisha and you bring it completely into the Maisa HaGavra, meaning to say every one of his actions is corresponding with the intention of that effect. Right? We define a Maisa by its effect. Right? We always define a Maisa by its effect. Right? So it has to really be his Maisa Charisha. Not his Maisa of schlepping, but his Maisa of Choresh. What makes it his Maisa of Choresh as opposed to his Maisa of schlepping? His Kavana. That's Rabbi Shimon. But if he's an Eina Miskavein, and it's not a Psikresha, which basically means it's not Miskavein, so then, okay, so Mamela Charisha occurred. All right, it was induced by an Adam, but there was no Maisa Charisha. There was no Maisa Malechas Charisha here at all. Because it wasn't never his Maisa of Charisha. It was his Maisa of moving the bench. And the Charisha just happened spontaneously. Okay, it's not totally spontaneous because it was an Adam who was involved. But in that case, it's no different than the dog dragging. It's not there was no Maisa Adam of Charisha. There was a Maisa Adam that was goreim, an effect of Charisha. You understand? Shai, you know what I'm trying to say? Okay. But what are we looking for in terms of Isser? What does it come down to now? What are we always looking for in order to say Isser occurred? Are we really looking for intent? No, we're not looking for intent. Intent is a vehicle. Intent is an ingredient to make what? To make the Maisa HaOdom. So it comes out, according to Rabbi Shimon, and according to Mitzvah Strichos Kavona, Maisei Isser and Maisei Mitzvah are primary Asiyos HaGavra, are primary activities of the Gavra, intrinsic Maisei HaGavra. Not that the Gavra does A and B Mamela occurs. The thing that that occurs has to be intrinsic to his Maisa. He has to be a Nota Lulav. He has to be an ochel, well, leave that case. He has to be a shomea tekiah, okay? Not that he's listening for something and he happens to hear a tekiah shofar. He has to be a choresh per se. But it comes out now that achila and be'ila are different. Why? Why? Because they are intrinsically maisa gavra. Achila is the definition of a maisa gavra. It is occurring within the gavra himself. He is the maisa. Let's think this through. In other words, I'm saying you only need kavana when the maisa can be defined outside of the gavra, and he's an agent of bringing it about. So we have to make him more than just a haphazard agent. We have to make him an intrinsic agent. So how do we make him an intrinsic agent, a definitive agent of something that's chutz mimenu? Kavana. But achila is really just a maisa of the body. It's really, it is. What is achila? It's a function of the guf. It's the guf doing something. As long as the guf did it, there's nothing more that you need. So when the iser is achila, when that is the definition of the iser, you don't need to choose it in order to make it an achila. It's intrinsically defined as achila just from the fact that it's intrinsically a maisa haguf. So kevin shenene means he did the maisa achila like any other maisa achila. You don't need kavana to make it. What else could it be? A natural phenomenon? What else could it possibly be? An event that occurred? You don't say about achila that the gavra is a cause of a maisa. It's like a process of the guf. Did that process occur? Yes. There's nothing more that you can be doresh from it. There's nothing more that you can demand from it. So by achila and shesia, there's no need for kavana, because kavana only is necessary to make it a maise hagavra. But achila and shesia and bi'ila are maise gavra per se. And there's nothing more that you can demand from it. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, if there's an activity that you could engage in that has a 10% chance, I mean, I don't know what the specific numbers would be, has a 10% chance that you could accidentally swallow Isser, not allowed to do it. Even if you're not a Mechaber. You want a bob for apples in Yayin Nesach. I have no intention of drinking the Yayin, but there's a chance that some will get in my mouth and then I'll swallow it. So if it was anything else, it'd be mutter. Because you're not mechaber for it. And if it were to occur, it's not a maisa gavra. It's not an iser. But over here, it's intrinsically a maisa gavra. You cannot engage in something that has the chance of iser. See, that's what I'm saying. You have to recast the whole machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Not that Rabbi Shimon is a freewheeling guy and Rabbi Yehuda is a warrior, right? But Rabbi Yehuda holds kavana is not necessary to define the maisa iser, and Rabbi Shimon holds it is. And that's why you'll see this answers another problem, that there's a strange halacha that by So there's a strange halacha that mentioned to a couple guys upstairs that by Yavam and Yavama. So what's the din over there? That there's something called the Yavam and the Yavama are in a state that's called the Zika, right? They're bound to each other. So what does it mean? It means to say they don't need to do another Maisa Kedushin, right? Since, because of the mitzvah of Yibum, they're like in a designated state to each other. And all you need is the Maisa Bia creates the Ishus. The Maisa Bia completes the Ishus. The Kedushin is really like Omid. Right? In other words, there's two stages. There's Kedushin, and then there's the completion. So over here, it's Omid. You don't need to do, there's only Midrabanan they have a Kedushin, but Midraisa is nothing. All you need is the Maisa Bia. So the Gemara says, so we hold that even a bia ba'ones is kona. Even if the man would accidentally somehow fall off the building, I think they bring down the case, fall off a roof and land on the Yavama, he'd be Kona. Now, where do you ever see such a thing like that? That you need a Maisa, and the Maisa occurs by Onus and is considered to be effective, right? But it's because of this idea, because it's Misasik B'Chalam V'Arayos, that all you need is, since the Zika is extant, you don't really need Kavana to enter into the relationship. The relationship is Omed. The relationship is pre-existing. All it needs is the Haschala. So all it needs is the Maisa Gav, the Bia, the Maisa of the Gavra, of a Maisa Bia to consummate it. And by Bia, since it's also a Maisa Guf, it's considered autumn, it's considered the Maisa HaGavra, even Be'onis. So you fulfill the requirements of Maisa Gavra. You don't need Kavana. There's no need for Kavana, because Kavana over here, all you need is the Maisa. Since this wouldn't work in a regular case of Kedushin, obviously, because you have to have Kavana for the Kinyan. But here there's no need for a Kinyan. The Kinyan is already done. The Zika takes place with all Kinyan. All you need is the final step, and it occurred. It's his Maisa. Okay, I just thought it was an important point to bring out in Kavana, in Eina Miskavim.